from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
They're now a half game in front of the New York Yankees after the Yankees suffered a bitter loss last night at home to the Cleveland Guardians, 9-5 in 12 innings. It was the longest game of the season. Now, before the game, the Orioles announced that they were putting yet another pitcher on the IL, this time Zach Eflin for shoulder inflammation. Now, it doesn't sound serious if you listen to Brandon Hyde and others close to the situation. But it's, as Matt Wyrick from BaltimoreSun.com put on his Twitter, it's eight pitchers now on the IL. Kyle Bradish, Tommy John.
Too many.
Grayson Rodriguez, lat strain. John Means, Tommy John. Tyler Wells, Tommy John. Zach Eflin, shoulder inflammation. Felix Bautista, Tommy John. Danny Colon, elbow surgery, and Jacob Webb, elbow inflammation. Now, seven are too many. I'm going to say that now. And the reason why I'm saying that is because even though Felix Bautista is on the IL, that's last year. I think it's unfair when you put him with what's going on this year, because you're trying to paint a picture why there's so many guys. I think Tyler Wells is from last year too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so six, which is still too many, But I just think those guys should be on a different list.
The one thing, though, that I think is interesting about all the names is that a handful of these guys should be back. And I know, like, look, we're adding Eflin to the list. You don't like to hear shoulder inflammation at all. It sounds like it doesn't seem to be serious, but you know how these things can go. Sometimes you come back too soon, or maybe you think you're okay, and before you know it, something serious is wrong. But Grayson, Danny Colon, who else are we talking? Is Webb? There's a lot of guys you're gonna have a chance to get back before September. Jordan Westberg on the hitting side of it, and how much that could help the team depending on how ready are they. Do they get 2 weeks of regular season baseball to get themselves right for the playoffs? Do they get 1 week? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how long it takes Grayson to ramp back up if he doesn't come back until September 20th, 27th. You know what I mean? I think that's something we got to look at.
I got something I want to throw out there. And I kind of grazed over it a couple of days ago and put a little pin in it. And I'm glad I said it a couple of days ago. Kay Povich on, was that Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Saturday, right?
Saturday.
He went 6 3 innings, giving up 2 earned runs on 6 hits. And he goes back to minor leagues. Now, Kay Povich has to be there for 10 days to come back.
Unless there's an injury.
Okay. Unless there's an injury. His manager, a day before that, said he was going to a 6-man rotation to push everybody back one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to a 6-man rotation, the guy that's a part of that 6-man rotation gets sent back to AAA Norfolk, and you know he can only have 10 days, he has to have 10 days before he comes back. That doesn't make sense unless you already know there's a potential injury coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's now, something, too. Now, there are teams that finagle, I don't want to say that's what the Orioles are doing, but you finagle this injury list as much as you can, especially with injuries that are retroactive.
I think everybody kind of does that.
Yeah, but I don't like to insinuate that's what's going on.
No, no, I know. Moment,
well, two things are going on here. Lefty's name. I can't think of his
Kalum?
Name. Kalum? Left. No. Guy just on paternity leave now.
Oh, are you Keegan Aiken.
Keegan Aiken. You knew his wife was expected, so maybe that was the we bring him back when that happens. Instead, you bring back Tate because Eflin has gone on the IL, and you can bring Popovich back. But it was just odd to me that you're going to a six-man rotation the day after the guy pitches a gym, you send him back down, and you throw out that six-man rotation idea. It just seemed a little odd to me, unless you planned on then possibly bringing Cole Irvin back up as well. It didn't make sense until now.
But if it was a six-man rotation, wouldn't his next start possibly have come up at the back? They could have moved him to the back end of that if he has to be down for 10. Because like when you start a game, you're going to have, what, four more games before you get another start in a six-man rotation, five more games. Don't know if there's any off days. I didn't look at any of that stuff.
That's one off day.
Okay, so like you start throwing those things. Is it in the back of your mind going, okay, we can do that? Or knowing that you can do the injury thing and bring somebody back up?
I don't think. They're doing the injury thing in terms of manipulating. Yesterday, Hyde said he talked about some pain being his exact effort after his last start, and they wanted to wait until the day of to see whether he was ready. So I think they kind of mapped this out, planned this out, knowing that Zach Eflin wasn't feeling his best after his last start.
Okay. I mean,
I don't know if they're quote-unquote manipulating it, but it just didn't seem make sense that you send a guy down knowing he had to be there 10 days unless there's an injury when you're going to a six-man rotation.
I mean, look, I can see that as well. I think
it makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to look at with this team, though, too. And I don't know how much people are paying attention to everyone else, but it's weird looking at the top teams in the American League because I think everyone's bitching about their teams except maybe the Astros right now. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. Luis Gil left last night's game for the Yankees with back stiffness.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that
the second time he's left the game?
Yeah.
In the last three starts, maybe?
And it's also, you got to start thinking about what we brought up with the likes of Garrett Crochet, the likes of Luis Gil, and some of these other guys. They've never pitched this much an entire season. How much longer are they going to keep going? Do they wear down? And can you trust them in the postseason? Because you can say what you want. I could make the case that Luis Gil's been their best pitcher all year long, and I don't think it's a tough case to make. Maybe Garrett Cole finds himself and looks like Garrett Cole that won the Cy Young last year, but until I see it, I don't know. The Yankees have more problems right now than I think the Orioles do.
How about the leadoff spot for the Orioles last night?
Yeah.
Austin Slater goes 2-for-3. Cedric Mullins comes off the bench for him, goes 2-for-2 with a run. And a stolen base. He has 23 stolen bases by the way this year.
Can I ask this? Like, if
you go 4-for-5 with two players from the leadoff spot,
Rob. I see all these posts like, oh my god, they got a 210 hitter hitting leadoff. Will you guys please? How long have you been watching baseball? Not understanding that lefty righty splits are a thing, and teams do this all the time.
They don't want to admit that.
Go look. You don't factor in his numbers of what he does against right-handed pitching because he's not going to see a right-handed pitcher. He's facing left-handed pitching, and he rakes against them. Mm-hmm. That's why he's batting leadoff. So
people don't want to. They don't want to care about the metrics.
I'm sorry, my facts are screwing up your guys' opinions, but I mean, it's just so stupid.
They don't want to acknowledge the metrics, Jeremy. Because whenever you bring it up, what do they say? I don't care about that.
Yeah. Okay. You don't care about the most important thing of how does he do against left-handed pitching? Who's pitching tonight? Wow, it's another left-handed pitcher.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
We're talking about his average.
Who cares about his batting average?
They totally just deflect and turn the conversation.
Having said that, I scratched my head when I saw Austin Slater lead off for the first time 2 weeks ago or a week ago.
I didn't, because this is what the Giants did the same thing, an extremely analytical team. You'd look at their lineup and you're going, why is Austin Slater batting leadoff? He does it every time against left-handed pitching because he crushes left-handed pitching.
But Jeremy, some people, I'm a metrics guy when it comes to baseball, but every now and then I get caught into my old school. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. And I look, oh, you know what? Let me look at the numbers. And then you look at the numbers and you figure out, okay, now it does make sense.
I wonder whose numbers are better against left-handed pitching, Colton Cowser or Austin Slater? I don't know it. Like, I'm not, but I'd venture to guess it's probably Slater.
Probably so.
And it's probably not even fair to Colton Cowser because I don't know how much left-handed pitching he's got to face this year.
Well, he's facing a lot now. He's playing every
now
day.
He is, yeah.
He and Jackson Holliday play every day. Doesn't matter. They got pitches left, right, underhand.
What did Drake say? Every day. You know, that's what he's doing. Every day.
Quote Drake.
I can't quote him?
I said I don't quote Drake.
Yeah, you do.
Come on, man. It's Kendrick Lamar. Barbershop topic of the day at 7:30, but on the other side, we get stupid with Jeremy Kahn.
All right, so we're going to get into an interesting story about a judge who he had sex with two bailiffs in the courtroom, and he's citing Sex and the City and Marvin Gaye on why he should keep his job, and he has an interesting background. We'll get to that.
Why should he lose it?
Yeah, well, hey, I'm interested in your guys' thoughts because it's a workplace. Kids under threat of diarrhea outbreak linked to chlorine-resistant parasite. So if you're going to one of those water parks, good luck with the poo. I'll tell you that story. And lastly, interesting enough, I mean, we get a bunch of these. Body of a mom who died during a Brazilian butt lift surgery is missing parts of her brain, heart, and lungs. I want to explain this story and talk about how dangerous these Brazilian butt lifts are, the BBLs, for people out there. That's coming up next in the World of Stupid.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, let's get stupid. Before we do, Ed was looking something up. We were talking about it. Austin Slater's batting average against left-handed pitching doesn't look great this year. His on-base percentage is at .325, which is higher than the other guys. I think it's 30 points higher than Colton Cowser in the leadoff spot again for this year. But if you look at his career numbers have been way better against left-handed pitching.
Just this year looked like it. He's been .194 against left-handed.
And if you took it just with the Orioles, it's way better because he's actually, if you look at it, even when we bitched about Jackson Holliday getting pinch hit for, he still walked during that. So, let's get to the stories here real quick. And I want to start with this judge. Embattled judge accused of courtroom sex with bailiffs, 2 different bailiffs. He cited Sex and the City and Marvin Gaye as reasons that he shouldn't be in trouble for this. The Gerald County, my eyes are so bad now, I can't even see. my computer. Garfield County Associate District Judge Brian Lavelle, 58, is accused of having inappropriate relationships with two female bailiffs. He actually had sex inside the courthouse bathroom and in her office. His attorney said no longer the unforgivable sin it once was, citing 50 Shades of Grey and Sex in the City and popular songs by Marvin Gaye as examples of sex being in mainstream zeitgeist, as they put it. This is so much like, it has nothing to do with the fact that you guys are having sex. It has the fact to do with where you're having it.
Yes.
You know, like, it's just, how do you not get that? Nothing wrong with you guys having sex. Nothing wrong with you guys.
Now I get it. That's why I was like, why are they trying to fire this guy? But yeah, doing it at work.
Yeah. And it's the same thing like with, we've seen this with the OnlyFans teachers that had sex at work when nobody's in the building. That's still not that's your workplace.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're filming it, they get fired.
Be like somebody doing it here.
Yeah. Who did that?
Scumbags.
Anyway, but the other part of this too is the Oklahoma judge faces a plethora of felony gun charges for drive-by shootings, is demanding to keep his job after this. So he also...
Excuse me?
Yes. He had felony gun charges for a drive-by shooting.
A judge committed a drive-by shooting?
That's what's alleged here.
Wow.
So, just a kind of...
Is this the same judge?
Yeah, same judge. It is weird. I was looking at his mugshot, and I'm going, this guy is banging bailiffs in the courtroom? And then you see him all cleaned up, and you're like... All right, well, I teach their own. all right, let's talk about a diarrhea outbreak. Any of you guys like water parks?
Yeah.
I'm assuming Rob doesn't. No, do you like water parks?
No.
It's not the same as a beach or getting in the water. I mean, you're just going down a slide.
My son loved it. We used to go to Great Wolf and Hershey and all these water parks.
What else is at the water park?
I mean, there's good food. There's women in bathing suits.
Get those slides. I love you. You get those tubes and just jet you down the tube into the water.
I go to Hershey's, 95 degrees. I get wet and I walk around the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm good.
I like water parks. Water Country USA down there in, what is that, near Busch Gardens in Williamsburg in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So we would go there all the time.
I love the amusement park.
Yeah, see, I like the water parks more than the amusement park, but you got to realize how much filth's going to be in that water with everybody.
People
peeing in it, crapping in it, all kinds of craziness. But
I realize it.
Yeah. Well, this is what's happening now. Kentucky Water Park's pool became the unfortunate breeding ground for a mighty infection that gives painful symptoms like diarrhea, nausea, fevers, and painful cramping. The Silver Lake Water Park and Adventure Center in Cincinnati was host to the, what is this, chlorine-resistant cryptosporidiosis. Nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
It's a parasite disease that has an outer shell that keeps it alive against typical germ-killing methods in water, and it's one of the most common causes of waterborne diseases in the U.S. So, I guess a PSA for anyone out there, a public service announcement, if you're going to water parks, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but this is something now you got to be concerned with, or at least they're telling us we have to be.
One thing I could cross off the box.
I'm waiting to see if Ed crosses anything off that list again. body of a mom who died during a Brazilian butt lift surgery came back from Turkey, missing parts of her brain, missing hearts or her heart and her lungs. And it's kind of weird. So I do want to throw out this number. Huh? So, like, she died during Brazilian butt lift surgery. By the way, BBL surgery is the most dangerous plastic surgery you can have.
Is it really?
Yep. More people die during this procedure than any other one. I'm trying to find the numbers here. When Brown's body was flown back to the UK, a devastating discovery was made. Large parts of her brain, lungs, and heart were missing. I'm assuming, like, there's a lot of stuff with organs on the black market, right? And people waiting for organs. You can sell all this stuff.
It's big in China.
Yeah,
China.
It said no evidence of organ trauma was found. We have handed the body untouched to the coroner's office so they can go through. That was the in Turkey is what they said. They didn't find any issues with what was going on. But when they got here, there were body parts missing, you know, organs. So BBLs have the highest mortality rate of all cosmetic surgeries, with more than one death occurring per 4,000 procedures. The buttocks contains various blood vessels, some connected directly to the heart. When a fat injection strikes one such vessel, fat can travel to the heart and lungs, obstructing blood flow and causing immediate death. So for anybody out there, like, and by the way, I know there's been some Brazilian butt lifts that look really good. Some of them look so
stupid,
effing bad.
Ridiculous.
And if you're going to do something to your body, do you really want to go to some other country and trust some doctor you don't know where the, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to Mexico to get some sort of surgery done to help myself. And a lot of people do this just to save money on the surgery. So that's your world of stupid. I don't know how you feel about it, but there have been some BBLs out there. You're like, what is that thing for? Is he supposed to eat lunch off of it? Like, it looks like a tray.
Set a glass on it.
Yeah.
I told you, I'm not a big ass guy. I'm a tight ass guy.
What's that? Huh?
I'm just, the big ass is just
a tight ass. Tight one. What's that mean?
Sprinter's ass.
Ed, what's a tight ass?
You don't know what a tight ass is?
Tight is just like you can bounce a quarter off it. A big ass, you slap it on Christmas, it's still shaking on New Year's
Eve.
Yeah,
because you say I have a loose one. I just thought it was different.
I never said that.
Well, I don't know whether you do or not there. Have a loose.
He just said I never said it and went into his phone and ignored me. I don't want anybody. Make eye contact, damn it. That's your world of stupid, Rob.
You nasty, Jim.
I don't care.
You got issues, man. You really do.
Little brown hairs everywhere.
Like, I thought it was like radio.
I don't care. Oh, that's Big Pun. Stop it. It's a song.
Oh, yeah.
Rob knew it.
Yeah, I knew it. I don't care. Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, Al Barbershop topic of the day. You may regret letting Anthony Santander walk away. You may have already have a reference points of this. We'll tell you what it is on the other side right here on The Fan. One of the things that's come up, because we can't just enjoy things as they are, the losing possible free agents. Anthony Santander is one of the names that comes up a lot. Santander right now is 29 years old. He will be 30 in October the 19th. So hopefully we're in the postseason as he turns 30. So he's going to hit free agency at age 30. Some of you suggested that maybe what he's having right now is just the best that he's going to get, and he'll fall off, because that's what players do when they hit 30. Not always. Santander has scored his first 30 home run season at the age of 27. He hit 33. He came back the next season last year, hit 28, and this year he's at 37. So for that, we're wondering, well, if you sign him to a four-year deal, five-year deal, he's 34, 35, how effective can he be? Let me take you to a player who was a premier home run hitter for probably a 10-year stretch, close to it. The first 30 home run season, he was 28 years old. He didn't have another 30 home run season until he was 33. And then that was followed by five more seasons of at least 30 home runs. And then 2 years later, he did it again. And the year he didn't do it was the pandemic season, which he hit 16 that year. That guy's name is Nelson Cruz. You guys remember Nelson Cruz?
Of course.
What was one of the biggest mistakes by Dan Duquette?
Getting rid of Nelson Cruz. Letting him go.
Two players they let go, I thought was the ruin of him. And it was all for that extra year in the contract. Nick Markakis and Nelson Cruz. Both 1 year. This 1 year difference between the contract they wanted and the contract he wanted to give, he let those two players go because he said Nick Markakis physically didn't have it, and he suggested that Nelson Cruz was old.
Well, so can I defend him for a second?
Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say, like, in those two situations, though, you look at it, when you look at Nick Markakis, I mean, we were all kind of calling him a glorified singles hitter and hadn't looked the same since the hammock bone injury. And the type of money they were going to pay him. So they let him walk, and good for him. Like, he really did have a pretty good career towards the end of it with Atlanta. The Nelson Cruz thing, I remember talking about this, not wanting to give him the fourth year. He had the hip issue. He also had been suspended, injury problems, and not wanting to pay him. And I think they tried to play hardball with the money, and some other team was willing to pay it to him and take the chance. And let's not forget, when he did go to, Seattle after that? Was he at Seattle right after the Orioles?
I think he went there.
Yeah.
So, like, he had that. Like, he basically had that issue where his hip popped out of socket, and I thought he was going to miss a ton of time, and he didn't miss any time. So that was one of the ones where you're rolling the dice if you had. Like, the whole Jamie Moyer thing didn't pass their test with the medicals, and then all of a sudden he pitched, like, another 45 years after that.
Now, I'm with you. They could have justified the Nick Markakis. His OPS at one time dropped below 700.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an example of an organization not looking at the numbers. Do you know one, was it the full seasons? One, two, three, four, five. 5 years leading into coming to Baltimore for Nelson Cruz, his worst OPS was 2 years prior to that. It was 779. Other than that, 856, 950, 821, 833. His numbers, his metrics were on fire, were unbelievable. So what are you going by to suggest that you shouldn't re-sign him? The arrow was never pointing down.
Well, with Nelson Cruz?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was – I never wanted him to go. This is not revisionist history. I love that guy. I want him to stay. I thought he was – do exactly what he did. Because I remember having this argument with someone at work on the air. It was like, well, he's not going to do that again. I was like, how do you know that? How do you know that? What's giving – what if, when people end up being DHs, right, at the end of the day, why? Because they still can hit. Yeah. Usually because they can't play the field anymore. They're not fast enough. But they can still hit. That's one thing that doesn't decline with age for most guys. It's your speed. It's your fielding ability. He always even designated fielders late in career. So that – and that, and I think the mistake they made with him, letting him go was a mistake by itself. Mm-hmm. And I think it also forced their hand to sign Chris Davis to that ridiculous contract.
Yeah. But I like – I actually understood that from a standpoint. Like, I was happy when they signed Chris Davis. Maybe I was the only.
I admit it, I was. I admit it, too.
Yeah, because, well, maybe we're the only three. I was happy when they signed him. But yeah, because I thought that they were going to end up spending more money. And I do want to say this, like, going back to Dan Duquette, I mean, you could beat the guy up for a lot of things, I think. But I don't know that this is one of them because we don't know how much his hands were tied.
No, that was all on him. That was all him. That was his decision. It was a decision, Jeremy.
But hold on, Peter, it's not about the decision. He's got to make sure the money's okay that they're willing to spend it. And they weren't spending that money, man.
You don't have to spend money on other places or other pieces if you sign Nelson Cruz. He was trying to replace Nelson Cruz with two people. You know what I mean?
But Nelson Cruz was going to be a full-time DH here.
Why don't you go out and get Snyder and not bring in Nick Markakis? Now, let's fast forward to the day, because that's what it's about. It's about Anthony Santander. His OPS is trending upward. In 2021, it was 720. 2022, it was 773. 2023, 797. This year, 832. Mm. Age is not impacting him negatively. It's not. He's getting better. And my point and reason why I compared the two, because some guys are late bloomers. Nelson Cruz became a legitimate power hitter at the age of 28. Anthony Santander became a legitimate power hitter at the age of 26. These guys aren't falling off. I'm sorry, 27. These guys aren't falling off. I think it would be a huge mistake, Ed, if you don't re-sign this guy.
I agree. I totally agree. For exactly the reason I just cited. Why would you think he's going to fall off? I think with him, you talk about Cruz's arrow pointing up. I think Santander, everything's pointing up with him.
I want to see Santander here, and I agree with you guys. Like, I'd love for them to re-sign him. The only issue we have, so you're looking at a bunch of different things where they're going to wind up with a bunch of first-round picks next year, not only from Colton Cowser, who, if he doesn't get hurt, is winning the Rookie of the Year. You know, and then you add in if Corbin Burns walks, that's the other thing. Here's another first-round pick coming back. And part of me believes all that stuff's going to happen because they do love getting these draft picks and seeing what they can, you know, what they can draft and how they develop them. And Rob, the other thing, I'm just looking at the Nelson Cruz stuff. If you had given the 40, the fourth year, he'd only hit 41 bombs and 107 ribbies.
But Jeremy, I'm with you on Markakis. I'm with you. There was reason to question that. You're right. But there was no reason to question signing Nelson Cruz. Well, so what, you waste a year? You get three good years and you don't get the fourth year.
So the only thing I can say to that is, all right, so with Texas the year before, he played 109 games.
Yep.
He had the suspension and all that stuff that went on. And Rob's right. Like, he really did become this unbelievable power hitter a little bit later in his career. He did hit 22 bombs in 2010, and it slowly increased for Nelson Cruz. The only thing I can say, and one of the reasons why I was okay letting him walk from a business standpoint, is putting money into an older player like Nelson Cruz, who's going to be a glorified DH, as a team, can you afford to do that? Now, obviously, if you knew he was going to put up these numbers, but he did have an injury history. He only had one full season of play in Texas. The rest of it, 109, 124, 108, 128. In 2012, he played 159 games. And he played 159 games for the Orioles. So maybe you could have looked at it and said, hey, we're going to build off of what we saw this year, not the previous 5 years. So I do think injury, not having a position, essentially. I know he did play some outfield for Seattle early on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the suspension. If he got suspended again.
Let me throw this in, Jeremy. Who were the Orioles bidding against with Chris Davis?
Well, we found out they were bidding against themselves.
No one. Okay, so you're talking about spending money. If you spend that money on Nelson Cruz, you probably still keep Chris Davis at a lesser price because you're not bidding against anybody. Who says you got to let one of them go? Maybe you keep both of them. You outbid it yourself with Chris Davis. And also, let me tell you another number to suggest about Santander. Slugging. Let's go to 2021. And his slugging was 433, then 455, then 472. This year, 525. He is increasing in all of his power numbers. The guy's not going. The arrow is pointing up for him. You could potentially let one of the game's superstars walk.
I don't think you want to let the guy walk, but you also have things that are ready to replace him. They have contingency plans. It's supposed to be Kierstead, but we didn't see him in right field.
Contingency and not replace.
Yeah. It's a better word because it's, you know, and I want to go back.
The appropriate word.
I want to go back to one other thing. I'd be willing to bet you, Rob, because of the mistake of not signing Chris Davis, you had the knee-jerk reaction of we can't let Chris Davis walk.
You mean Nelson Cruz.
But without signing Nelson Cruz, that you can't have that knee-jerk reaction of, oh my God, we messed up by not signing him. We can't let Chris Davis go. And then
That's what it was.
Yeah. Because it happened 2 years later.
I'm a full believer in that. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Could the Nelson Cruz mistake be a good reason why you need to keep Anthony Santander in Baltimore? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn. Can the Nelson Cruz mistake be a good example of why maybe the Orioles need to reconsider or consider, I should say, signing Anthony Santander? Let's go to our buddy Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, all right. Well, how are you?
Good. And Jeremy, I think your beard is better than Colin Shelby.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
And it was good to see you, Rob.
You too, buddy. You too. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think Anthony Santander is going to be here for 4 years and beyond. And you guys have a wonderful day.
You too. You too. I hope you're right. I don't know. I'll be honest. So, which I only hope.
The only problem I see too is like we just don't know how financially they're going to run this team. And we all keep saying it. I know it's down the line. And people are like, hey, you got to sign Gunner. You got to sign Adley. And then you're going to be saying it about Jackson Holliday. And I'm sure Colton Cowser when these guys come up. They've done such a phenomenal job drafting and developing that I think they have to play a little bit more chess now to figure out what type of business model they're going to have.
Let's go to Freddie in Easton. What's up, Freddie?
Yeah, you know, I've always often thought about that, about the Nelson Cruz thing. It's like you just don't trade the guy that just led the league in home runs over a year.
And, well, they didn't trade him. They just let him walk.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, they let him walk. You know, the Chris Davis thing, like you said, we offered him that 160, and nobody else offered him anything, and then we still gave him 160. That, you know, his market value was obviously down. You know, Anthony Santander is a little bit of a unicorn, you know, switch-hitting power hitter like that. He may not lead the league in home runs, but he's the best power hitting switch hitter in the major. I don't think you let him walk. A bird in the hand, bird two in the bush. You got to find a way to keep him.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's hard to lead the league at home runs when you got Aaron Judge in the American League. It's hard. Let's go to James in Hamilton. What's up, James?
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right.
Doing well. How are you?
I agree with y'all as far as the numbers go, but this is something else I was thinking about. When Nelson Cruz was here, he was like a mentor to Scope and Manny Machado.
He sure was.
And it seemed like as soon as he left, they fell apart.
Yep.
And with our Dominican Academy about to start producing fruit, I just think it'll be a soft landing for some of these guys if the leader in the clubhouse is a Spanish-speaking guy.
I'll tell you this. Anthony Santander is the leader on that baseball team. He's one of the leaders. I mean, there's not one leader, but he's definitely one. I appreciate the phone call. He cast a big shadow in that clubhouse, Ed.
I know he does. I know, and it's just like Nelson Cruz, like the caller just said. Those guys looked up to him, and I'm sure same with Tony. And I just think he's great for the team in a lot of ways.
Great personality,
and obviously produces on the field. So I mean, what else could you ask for?
Anthony Santander walks to the clubhouse number one with a swagger and a smile on his mouth, Jeremy, like, I don't know who he's going to make fun of, but he's got one loaded already. You know what I mean? And he comes in like that.
It's so weird. Like the caller said, he's the best power-hitting switch hitter in baseball. And it got me to thinking, and I'm going, like off the cuff, I don't know that I can think of anybody that I would put in that category. I know Ketel Marte's hitting 30 bombs this year, like, but I don't look at him as, he's a great player. I don't look at him as just a power hitter, you know, and Francisco Lindor, but again, not the same type of power.
Yeah.
He might be the best switch hitting power hitter. Now, I still got to, this is just I off the cuff. Is. I'm just trying to think of other players that
I think he is.
Could be, yeah.
He might be the best since maybe Mark Teixeira.
I mean, that's tough. I feel like there's a couple guys we're missing, but yeah, he might be the best switch hitting power hitter in baseball.
Let's go to Mike in Baltimore. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Doing well, how are you, man?
Yeah, man, I was trying to get through last week because I was going to bring up the Nelson Cruz situation. That was the last time when
And I wanted to save it for myself and take the credit so we didn't take your call.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the last time I really got pissed. I really got pissed with the Orioles when they didn't sign Nelson Cruz over that 1 year difference. But, you know, you got to sign Anthony, man. He's just phenomenal. He's been really great for us. And isn't he he was a Rule 5
choice,
right? So he's probably been the best Rule 5 we've ever had. But, man, it was revisionist history. I really got bummed out with the Orioles when they let Cruz go and he went on to all those productive years. But, yeah, you got to sign, my man.
Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. And I'll say this also, Ed, Jeremy. The same can be said. I would love to re-sign Corbin Burns. But my justification for not signing him would be the opposite of Anthony Santander's. His numbers aren't going up. Well, this would be the first year that he has more innings pitched than strikeouts in his career.
So I got to look this up, too, and I don't know if they changed this up.
I would love to sign him, but...
But if they offer Anthony Santander the qualifying offer, do they then get a first-round pick back if he walks?
Is it a first-round pick?
For that player and what he's doing? Yeah, I think it would be.
And I'm questioning it. I don't know. I don't get a pick. I don't know either.
Look, baseball has changed so many times. I don't know what the answer is.
There's like a level between the first and the second, like purgatory, I think, isn't that where the qualified offer picks go? Like after the first round?
Yes.
Right before? Yeah,
I thought. I'm looking it up now, qualifying offer in MLB.
Let's take one more. Let's get Nelson in Baltimore while you look that up, Jay. What's up, Nelson? He dropped. Well, Nelson, I don't want to talk to you.
Was that Cruz?
I guess so. Maybe he's just like, we said all the right things.
All right. Compensation for losing players who reject their qualifying offer. If a team gives a qualifying offer to a player who then signs elsewhere, that club that lost the player is eligible for a draft pick compensation in next year's MLB draft. So it would be up to, I think it's up to the MLB where that should be.
Right.
But if you had the best switch hitting power hitter in baseball, you'd like to think it'd be a little high. Maybe it isn't a first-round pick. But that being said, I for some reason, I feel like this team, much like Eric DeCosta, and I do think it's a smart way to go and a great business model, likes collecting a lot of draft picks.
Let's get Ed Towson. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, guys. We're talking numbers, and you know that ain't my gig. You know, I can't relate to that. But you need a couple of glue guys, all right? If you can throw all that stuff out the window, which I'm sure is very necessary – and understand that, you know, you need a good, you got Santander, and I see Suarez too. Those are glue guys that are never going to hit the headlines like the high profile players are. But if those guys get you to a World Series, is that not more important than the numbers? I get confused with that, Ed, because sometimes you know, you got to, as they say, take one for the team. These guys are glue guys. These are guys you need. These are guys that are 24/7.
Give me, define glue guys, because you got two different
guys. Like I said before, lunch pail guys. Guys that are always, when the high profile guys are having highs and lows because guys are playing them hard, Santander, Suarez, those guys have shown up consistently when you didn't think they would. When everybody, when it's like, oh man, we're the high profile.
I think in that description, and that's why I thought you meant. Thanks a lot for the call, Aaron. I would put Suarez more in the glue guy than Anthony Santander because the expectations for him have been high for about 3 or 4 years. So I don't know. If by my definition of a glue guy, he is a glue guy because he's the guy that holds everything together. But when he gave me Suarez and Santander, I'm like, yeah, those are two completely different people. Anthony Santander is a glue guy that's going to hit 40 home runs this year. That's not a bad glue guy.
Yeah, everything sticks to that.
Yeah, everything. Tom Brady lists his top five quarterbacks in the National Football League, which means it gives us 10 minutes to hear Jeremy Kahn bitch about where he put Lamar Jackson. We'll do that at 8:15. But on the other side, Ed Norris, you got shovels.
Yeah, to a state that's been named worst for women's equality, and to those that are surprised by this.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057TheFan. Shovels next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.